I'm thankful for the opportunity for us to be together tonight. Have a little challenge that I'd like to share with you that the Lord has given me in the last few days. If my life were given in book form, soon to be written in book form, would it bring glory to God? It's a challenge for me. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter and the second verse, says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." I was thinking of that verse. You know, really, our life is like a book that others are looking at. Does it bring glory to God? I was thinking of a book that I've seen in the print shop before. It said, "The Trials and Triumphs of Eva Grant." Some of you may have seen that book before. And just the title of it has been a challenge to me. Someone's life being written out for others to read. The successes and the failures, the troubles that came into her life, whatever it was, and the successes that she had from it. You know, really, Jonah, I wonder if he knew that when he was there at Nineveh, this is going into book form. There's going to be people reading my story for thousands of years. And my story is going to end up more telling people what not to do than what to do. Not too much of a success story that Jonah left for us. Even to the point of when his story is going to end up and he is upset because God spared Nineveh. And he's even willing to say, "Lord, I knew you was going to be like this. That's why I didn't want to come down to Nineveh anyhow. I knew you were that kind of a God. You show mercy to other people." And then it gets put in the book and we get to read it for thousands of years. Our life, to be put in the book form, the troubles that come into my life, how I deal with them, how long it takes me to deal with them, all those things, if it were posted in a book, would it bring glory to the Lord? I'd like to go to another verse. It's in Hebrews 12th chapter and the first verse. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." But just looking at this first part of the verse, we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. You know, we're able to look through the Bible at a lot of people's life story. And the Bible does not just say, "You know what, I only want to post the positive things. I will not show the negative." It showed that David was a man after God's own heart, and it showed that David fell, and then it showed when he came back, was restored again to the Lord. So I was thinking about this, my book. And you know what, I'm not even thinking tonight about sin. Because we heard this morning from Sister Maxine, a lot of us, you know what, we have set our course. By the Lord's help, sin is not a question to me. I have no desires that are leading me that direction. But there are some things, as we found out during the meeting, as I found out during the meeting, there are some things that can be a snare to me in my life. And I'll tell you what got me started thinking about this was the verse that Brother Marty gave us during the meeting. And I'd like to go back to it again. Jeremiah 12 and 5. "If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? If in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" And it started me this week after I heard that message, and I've gone back and played it over, and I need to keep on playing it over because I think there are some tools in it for me. Being able to find out, this trial that I'm facing today, is it a footman or is it a horse? And you know, most of us, the troubles that come into our life in a day's time, to us it can be a big thing. And it can be what somebody said to me or how somebody dealt with me. And I can have to work with that for a long time. And Brother Marty used a saying, and we've all heard it before, making a mountain out of a molehill. You know, we've heard that saying for a long time, but I don't ever want it to be applied to me, because mine, if I say it's a mountain, it's a mountain. And, you know, to each one of us, it's that way. So when is it possible that what I consider to be a mountain may not be a real mountain? Maybe it is in my eyes. I had this thought come to me. What do I compare my trial against? You know, we've got to be able to compare it against something, because otherwise all of them are going to be mountains. And here's what I thought about. Have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? I don't ever like to read it, because it's got how many people had difficult places in their life, and most of them gave their life. What if the last few pages of the Fox's Book of Martyrs was blank? And they say it's in there for a reason, because I want you to put your trial that you're having to face, put it in there with it. Would I consider it a mountain, my little trial? Would it be a mountain or a molehill whenever I compare it to what some people have faced in their life? I believe it would be a help to me to realize, you know what, there's some folks that have faced some big things. And the big things that I find that I have now, if it were going to print my life story and how I've dealt with the things that come into my life, how would it bring glory to God? I'm asking the Lord to help me. That the things that I consider this is a mountain in my life today, help me to look around and compare it to some other things in the Bible, and then realize, Lord, you have given people grace in some bigger things than this. Yes. You can help me with this one right here. You know what the devil would want to do is, even in the smallest things, he would like to blow that up so big that there is no help for me through this situation. I'm going to just have to face it on my own, when the Lord would like to take us through all things. So I was looking at this. Would the people around me, taking a look at the trouble that I'm facing, would they consider it a footman or a horse that I'm contending with? I can find everything to be a big problem. It's the horse that I'm facing. What about if my life story were added to Paul's life story? You know what? When he went through his, I really doubt that he knew his was all going to be posted for everyone to read for a couple thousand years after that. He was just living life day after day, making decisions what he would do with the troubles that came into his life. I'd like to take a look at a little bit of it. So if I posted my troubles next to his, let's just take a look at what some of his were. 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, he just gives us a little quick list of some of the things that happened to him. And you know what? The Lord was there to walk with him through these things. 11 and 23, it says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." Okay, now think about this. I'm looking at my big trouble that I'm facing. Somebody said something to me at work, and I'm having trouble with that for a long time. But I'm going to connect it with Paul, and I'm going to match his up. I had some big troubles, too, that I'm facing. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." And then it just keeps on listing all the things that had happened in his life. And then he goes with all those, he's made a decision. And he tells us in Romans 8, because you know, he's going to have to do something with those troubles, because I look at his and I say, those were horses that he was facing. That wasn't a footman that he was facing. But in Romans, the 8th chapter, he kind of sums it all up in the 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And you know what? That's the question that I want to ask to myself often. Who is it that I'm willing to let separate me from the love of Christ? And you know, it doesn't have to mean, okay, I lose out with the Lord because of it. But you know what? It can become that mountain to me that processes in my mind. And Brother Marty's message made me realize, hey, there's a separation. There's a difference between the footmen and the horses that we contend with. And if I'm having trouble with the things that someone says to me, what am I going to do when I meet what Paul faced in some of his things? So I'm saying, Lord, would you help me in what I consider to be some big things happening in my life? And now they seem pretty small. Paul is saying, who's going to separate us? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So I was looking at his list. You know, these were not only coming from outsiders. These were not only coming from heathen people. Some of this trouble was coming from his own countrymen. And I was thinking about a chapter in Acts, the 23rd. What would it be if you had this to face? In the 23rd chapter and in the 20th verse, Paul's nephew has some news to tell to the people that are holding Paul as prisoner. And he says, I've heard some news here. 20th verse, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield to them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men. Now this, I consider this to be a pretty big trouble right here. Of them more than 40 men which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee. Jews, 40 of them, we will not eat another thing, we will not drink another thing until Paul is dead. What kind of feelings would that bring? That's on another level than I met somebody that talked sharp to me at the cashier's counter. That's down to my life could be taken right here. And yet, some of those things that he had a time when he had to be let down by a basket to escape. Troubles that came into his life. And then in Acts, the 21st chapter, and the 11th verse, you remember now someone has given a prophecy of him. It says, when he was come to us, 21 and 11 of Acts, this prophet took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And Paul answered and said, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. So I look at some of the things that came into Paul's life. It was some horses. It was the difficult times. But you know what? He had victory in it. And victory to the place that he could say in 2 Corinthians, because he's able to be an example for us whenever I have difficult times that I feel like are coming into mind. 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter toward the end, 16th verse. Though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Yes. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. So I look at all the things that he endured in his life, and then I compare them to the things that have come into my life. And I find out, you know what, mine are pretty small. But you know what we heard in that message? The Lord cares about the little small things that I feel like are pretty big in my life at that time. Hebrews in the 11th chapter. I love to read about the faith chapter. I love to read the first part that tells about all the people that were delivered. I enjoy that. But then it also lists some other people before it's over. In 11 and 35, it says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others. You know, that just those two words says there's some other people that had difficult times in their life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Others had trial of cruel mockings. And it goes through that list of all of those. And you know, it's really important for me when I look at all this to acknowledge, you know what, the thing I'm going through, though it seems so difficult to me, there's a verse that says, we have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The difficult places that come into my life have not cost me the kind of things that it cost Paul. So, as I look at those, Brother Marty also gave us, there's some tools for victory for me. You know, if I look at it, I can say, well, okay, I'll decide then that mine must be footmen compared to the difficult things that Paul and some of those other face. Well, you know what? It really doesn't matter what it is. It's still a trouble in my life. And I need the same thing that Paul had to deliver him. I need it to be able to be the tools that will deliver me. And I would like to look at a verse in 2 Corinthians because I need some tools. We're going to face difficult times in our life. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and in the 4th verse. Here is a tool that I believe is important for us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How much would these two verses help me in the trials that I face? Casting down imaginations. And I've been remembering what Sister Maxine has been telling us that the Lord showed to her. God does not have grace available for imaginations. The things that are real that happen into my life, He's got grace to help me. But there's no grace for an imagination because that's all it is at this time until it becomes real. But I want to tell you something. The devil loves to work with the imagination. He'd love to work with it to where I can, those things that I'm going through in my life, they become real. In my mind, I know why they said it. I know what they were thinking. I know what they meant. And it processes in my mind. You know what? I run that thing over and over for a little while, and it's as real to me as if they had spoken it out. The devil loves to work with imaginations. I'd like to go to a verse in 2 Timothy. Because I tell you, I love the messages that we heard in the meeting. Because they come down right to where we're living with examples of how he had to face those kind of things in his life and the victory that he could have. And you know what? Each one of us can have it also. I was looking at 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and the 2nd and 3rd verse. The things that thou hast heard of me and among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. And then he gives a tool that I want to look at tonight. It's in the 1st verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know what the difficult places we have, I don't believe the Lord ever intended us to try to make it alone through there, but to apply for this tool that he would like to give us, and it is grace. Many times I would hear that grace, the definition for it would be it's unmerited favor from God. But I've come to feel like, you know what, really, I don't deserve anything that God gives me. Really, everything that He gives me is a breath. The breath I breathe, the air I breathe, everything is a gift from Him. But I was looking at another definition that's been given, divine power that's available to me from God. Divine influence in my life that is available for me. I've only got to be able to reach out for it. You know, Brother Marty, also in being able to show us the examples in his own life of how the Lord helped him, it brought hope to me. Because, you know, the places that he told us about that he had some failures, what he let us know is, you don't give up. There's no thought of giving up. It's a teaching moment. It's a place for me to be able to say, Lord, I just realize I did not handle that the right way. He told us about it. I am sorry for that. Lord, help me out in the future. A place where, you know what? It made me to realize the Lord is more interested in helping us to be successful than He's interested in cutting me off because I was not so successful. He wants to be able to give me a toolbox that the next time I can have more success. And you know, some of this may never be something that I speak out to somebody. You know, I'm kind of learning a little bit. The things that I say, when it comes out, I'm responsible for them. So let my words be few. The scripture gives us that instruction. But you know, it can be the things that just happen down inside that are never spoken. It's just the churning that goes in the mind. It's the 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and it's as if the thing just happened all over again and it's working in my mind. And God's telling us, hey, this is a teaching moment. Come to me for help in this. I've got the help for you. So what I'd like to do tonight is give you some verses, and you probably have some yourself that you could share. Give you some verses that tell us how readily available this is for us. I've only got to realize I've got a need for it and go apply for it. So let's look at in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 and 16. And this says we don't have to just wish I could have it. This says 4 and 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This divine influence to help me to be able to go through the things that I'm faced in my life with and be successful. Go through the things that I'm faced with, and if my life story were written in a book like Jonah's was, that it would be a little better inspiration to others than his was. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. You know what I need it? Mercy. And then find grace to help in time of need. There is also in that same chapter, in 4 and the first verse, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You know, I think about entering into his rest. There's a peace that should be able to come into my life of walking close to the Lord. And it goes on down in there in the 9th verse, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For me to be able to have peace when any kind of a situation comes, I'm going to need to be able to do what the 16th verse tells us. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. I've got this problem that I'm faced with now, and Lord, I need you. I've got my own thoughts of which way to do it. I've got my thoughts of what needs to be said. But Lord, I would like to have grace. I would like to have your divine influence in my life while I'm faced with this trouble. So there's several books that Paul wrote. They begin with this, grace be unto you and peace. And then when he ends the book, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let it all begin with grace in your life and let it flow all the way through to the end of it, having grace. There's another verse in Ephesians, 2nd chapter, and 8th verse. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes. You know, we know that verse, but I believe it also applies to the troubles that I face in my life. It's going to be grace that helps me through it, not my fortitude to be able to handle troubles that come into my life. And I need to be able to realize here is my access. It's available to me. And I'm asking the Lord to help me myself, that I would be able to realize it's so readily available. All I need to do is come boldly to the throne and acknowledge I need it. There was a warning to me in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, when I come to the place that I have now learned how to be able to handle these troubles that can come into my life, I know how to hold my tongue. Well, you remember Brother Barney was telling us about holding his tongue for a while until he just blew up with a problem that he faced. Well, I need more than that. I need to realize, you know what? I need the Lord's help through every battle that I'm facing. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, he doesn't accept anything for himself, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. The grace that he had available to give to me, I used it. I want to be able to use it. It was not bestowed on me in vain. Then in Titus 2 and 11, it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. So that grace is available for everybody. Divine influence in our life. So what are the requirements for my part? Is there a requirement for my part to be able to have access to freely come for the grace that is available to us? There is a requirement, and it's one of them is in James, in the 4th chapter. There's something that can stop the flow of grace for me. Sixth verse of the 4th chapter of James. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. That's what I want to be able to have, is humble myself before the Lord, realizing how much I need him to be able to help me through the things in life. There is another one that says almost the same. It's in 1 Peter 5 and 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. This is our secret, is to get down low before the Lord. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. There was another verse in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, Colossians 3 and 6. And I've got the wrong verse. It said, let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So I've got the wrong verse written down there. But that my 4 and 6, thank you. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know what? I'll have a whole lot less times that I have to go back and apologize if my speech is with the grace of God. I want the Lord to be able to help me. He has it available for us. There's another one in 2 Peter 3 and 18 that tells us third chapter, 3 and 18, but grow in grace. So you know what, if I find out I'm kind of short on it, I didn't have it on this last encounter, Lord, I want you to help me to grow in it. Be able to better understand how to have access to it in my life. And I think one of the very things I need the most is to be able to realize how much I need it. I need His help in everything that comes to me. So I wonder, is there a ration on grace? We have sometimes in the past, we've had rations. Okay, you get so much a month of this, and then that's all you can get. They're probably young people don't even remember gas rationing. They would have water rationing. If the police drives by your house and you got an address that's an even number and you're watering your lawn on a certain day, they'll stop and give you a ticket just like you was driving down the road and had a driving ticket. Rationing. There's just not quite enough of it, so we're going to have to ration it out. No, there's plenty available for us. Can you tell me where a verse is that tells me there's plenty available? In Romans, as the world gets worse, you think, okay, surely grace can't keep up with it. But in Romans, in the 5th chapter, and in the 20th verse, lets us know it'll always stay ahead of it. Romans 5 and 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It was always, there will always be a lot of grace, plenty of grace for the trials that we come through. The only reason I'll come short of it is I don't realize my need for it, or I don't apply for it, asking the Lord to help me. Another one, 2 Corinthians 9. Hello. 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter and in the 8th verse. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Well, we'll have sometimes when I would love to be the first part of Hebrews 11, where when I'm asking the Lord to help me out, He brings deliverance. But when Paul had a thorn in the flesh and he asked the Lord to take it away, asking three times would he take it away, you know, Paul was able to understand why the thorn in the flesh stayed. He had just had a vision like no man had ever had, was able to see out into heaven, heavenly things. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure, there was sent to me a thorn in the flesh. I asked, would you take it away? But the Lord allowed it to stay. And what the Lord did say was, I've got grace sufficient for you. You know, what about the times in my life where the answer does not come like I want it to be? You know what? There are times when that causes people to turn away from the Lord, when the Lord is saying, I've got grace sufficient for you. You know, I've got a desire to go to heaven. And I would also, with that desire, I would love for everything to be good in my life. I'd like for there to be no trouble, but I end up landing in heaven. And the Lord seems to be showing us through Scripture that it doesn't work that way. There's got to be some things coming into my life to show me adjustments that I need to make in my life so I can be more like Him. So when I breathe my last breath, I would be able to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come into the joys of the Lord. And not to hear Him say, depart from me. So on the things that come into my life that don't go away, that stay there with me, I can still have grace for it that will go through it. Divine influence in my life, divine power, something more than I can do for myself to be able to take me through that time. But I want to close out with just a few verses that give me a warning. In 2 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, and in the first verse, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." That it's available to every one of us. As much as we need is available to every one of us. But that we would not receive the grace of God in vain. But that it would be able to fulfill in our life what God would have it to do. And there's also in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and then the 15th verse, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." And then he tells us one of the things that can cause it to happen. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Grace was available, but I didn't apply for it like I should have. I want to be able to have it in my life. 12th chapter finishes out with another warning. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Grace is available for me in every situation. It's just how fast do I apply for it. And that I would not allow the devil to take advantage of my imaginations. Even the things that are real, that I would be able to realize God has grace for me through that. I'd like to close with a song, because somebody else got a picture of what grace can do, saw the value of it. I'd like for us to sing this song together, number 510. Amazing grace. Grace that is able to help me when I've got troubles all around me, and it's able to take me through. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know, God's grace is not limited, whether we're facing a footman or a horse, whether it's the small things in my life or the big things in my life. God has grace sufficient for it. And my desire is, Lord, help me to realize that in all things I would come to you and ask you for your grace, your divine influence in my life with the problems that I face. He's ready to give it. All he's asking is you need to come boldly to the throne of grace. I desire that. I desire your prayers.